the origin of confusion, I would say, it stretches way back to Genesis 3.
Pastor Trevor Sutton, author of The Issues, Etc., Book of the Month, Clearly Christian, Following Jesus in This Age of Confusion.
Satan tried to inject falsehood into the true word that God had spoken. But in that little statement, did God actually say this? Suddenly we see this swirl of confusion coming into our world.
Learn more about Clearly Christian at issuesetc.org.
You go into your high school government class and you give your opinion defending marriage as between a man and a woman. The class is not going to look at you and say, how brave. Your classmates are going to look at you and say, how intolerant.
They're opposed to femininity, but they're also opposed to masculinity. The worst being in the world is a man. The best being in the world is a male individual who is feminized.
Because on the other side of death for the Christian is not condemnation, is not judgment, but is Jesus who welcomes us and blesses us.
Northern Illinois Chainsaw Drivers, Love, Issues, Etc.
We know from the very first book of the Bible that we were put here, we were created here, on this world so that, well, as God says, we might keep it and we might steward it and might exercise dominion over it. There's also another reason why God has given us the gift of this good world, and that is so that we might learn about it and study it. And through that study, marvel at Him as both its and our Creator. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. live this Monday afternoon, November the 19th. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. It'll be part 10 of our series on classroom apologetics. Here in the first half hour, we'll be talking Earth and Environmental Sciences 101. Dr. Angela Abling will be our guest. A little bit later in the program, we'll talk about diversity ideology in American universities. Heather McDonald, author of the new book called The Diversity Delusion, will be our guest for that. And then we'll be talking with Pastor Brian Wolfmiller in hour two of Issues, Etc. We've been doing a series with him introducing the books of the Bible. We just got into the Minor Prophets last week, and this week it's time to look at the prophet Joel. Joining us to talk about Environmental and Earth Sciences 101 in our multi-part series on classroom apologetics, Dr. Angela Abling, Associate Professor of Biology at Wisconsin Lutheran College in Milwaukee. She has a PhD in soil sciences from the University of Wisconsin. Dr. Abling, welcome to Issues, Etc.
Thank you. My pleasure. Glad to be here.
When you were a PhD student at the University of Wisconsin, was your Christian faith ever challenged when you were taking earth and environmental science courses?
Thanks for that question. Actually, it's an easy one. The short answer is no, not in the coursework, but I guess I'd like to give a little context. And that is, I grew up on a small dairy farm in Northwest Ohio in a rural area, and I went to a small parochial grade school, and then when I went to a public high school in the area, I had many opportunities to talk with people who didn't have the same faith as I did. And many of them did have faith, they have different denominations, but I had lots of opportunities to talk with them about my faith. And then I was able to go on and went to a Christian undergraduate college. And then, yes, I did go to UW-Madison for my soils PhD. And by that time, though, I'd gotten pretty comfortable with talking about my faith. And I guess as far as the coursework is concerned, honestly, at that time, you know, you're doing very specific things. I was studying specifically soil fertility, land management, and a lot of the types of issues that I think you're asking about with, you know, my faith being challenged didn't come up in those sorts of courses. Now, that isn't to say that I didn't have lots of fun conversations with classmates and, you know, other people that I knew about some of those questions. But in the coursework, honestly, no, I did not run into that. But again, this was, you know, I was in grad school, very focused coursework, and there might be a different experience for someone in an undergraduate setting.
Describe some of those interesting conversations that you might have had with your fellow PhD students or professors there that would have presented at least questions or challenges to the Christian faith.
Yeah, sure. So people came from all sorts of different backgrounds. Some were Christians, some were definitely not. Some were atheists, some were of other faith backgrounds, you know, other world religions. And for the most part, I found that people were pretty open and were willing to talk about things. And like I said, I had been fairly comfortable talking to other people about my faith. And so I did not feel particularly challenged in a way where I felt like, oh, I'm going to lose my faith. But again, I was at a different place than maybe an undergraduate student would be. But so, for an example, some of the questions that might have come up about spirituality, I can think of a conversation with a professor who was a soil physicist, and he may have been a Christian, I'm not sure, but he asked really great questions and made me think some more. And one of the things that he did was he would fast once a week. And I remember thinking, oh, that sounds, you know, really interesting. But I'm not sure if he did that from, because it was a spiritual thing for him that he needed that time. You know, I was thinking about it from a different perspective, thinking, oh, you know, if you take the time to remove something from your life, it can give you a chance to focus on what's important and thinking about Jesus and the gospel and that sort of thing. But he might have been doing it for a different reason. But in conversations with him, you know, I got to talk about things that were going on in his life.
What is the task of earth and environmental science studies?
Right. So earth and environmental science, I would say, has to do with better understanding the world we live in. And part of that is to educate people on how to be good citizens of the earth and good neighbors to each other.
What particularly is covered there? What are the? I know it's a broad. It's a broad
yeah,
subject, but what kind of subjects are in particular dealt with in earth and environmental sciences?
Yeah, earth and environmental science is a fun. Basically, you get to study everything. That's the neat thing, because you need to study biology, chemistry, physics, economics, sociology, ecology. So you have the sciences, you have the social sciences, you know, think about how people interact in the world that they live in. So it does cover a very broad range of subjects. The courses that I teach deal primarily with the science part of things. So I teach an environmental science course, ESS 182, here at Wisconsin Lutheran College. And in that course, we want to introduce students to some of the basic sciences and make sure they understand, again, a basic understanding of the way the world works around them.
How have earth and environmental studies been influenced by the theory of evolution?
I would say earth and environmental science is influenced and informed by the theory of evolution in similar ways that other disciplines have been. So when discussing life and origins, there's an expectation that you understand the principles behind evolution. Current theories explaining data found in fossil records and DNA suggest an order and a beginning of the world that differs from the biblical creation account. While as Christians who take Genesis literally, we do not agree with the conclusions that evolutionary theory makes looking backwards into time. Something that you can do is use the theories of how the world currently works to understand how diseases, pesticides, famines, natural disasters, and other things impact the natural world around us to predict how to best handle crises and how to plan for the future. So for an interesting perspective on that, there's a scientist who lived a while ago, actually, during the time of Charles Darwin, and his name is Philip Goss, and he wrote a book called Omphalos. And so I'd encourage listeners to go to that book and see his perspective. And it's something that scientists don't like, and it's something that the theologians don't like, but it does provide an interesting way of looking at the world.
So what about the influence of the various theories regarding climate change in earth and environmental studies? How influenced has it been by those ideas?
Yeah, no, I guess I don't consider earth and environmental studies to be influenced by the theories of climate change, but rather scientists in these disciplines seek to understand the earth and the environment. Part of that is anticipating how our actions will impact the earth and the environment in the future. So we can learn from our past mistakes and try to avoid damaging the earth in the future, I guess, is one important aspect. And one of my favorite examples of this is the success of Dr. Mario Molina and his team of researchers where at MIT, and who identified CFCs, so chlorofluorocarbons, and their impact on destroying the ozone layer. And CFCs were really an important refrigerant and propellant that unfortunately had this effect of causing the ozone to degrade in the upper level of the atmosphere, where ozone is important because it filters out harmful UV radiation. But once the Molina group discovered the mechanism and then communicated it to the broader scientific community, action was able to be taken such that CFCs were limited, and now they have decreased in the atmosphere and the ozone layer is not as large as it used to be. So it's kind of a neat thing to see how studying the Earth can help us better understand how to protect ourselves in the world that we live in.
To what degree has the political agenda of climate change, the kind of the alarmism that is, or overstating the case, things like that, found its way into earth and environmental science classroom?
Well, I can really only speak to my classroom and the classrooms of my colleagues at WLC with whom I've had conversations about this with. I teach my students about biology, physics, chemistry, about the world, and intentionally avoid bringing politics into the classroom. That's me, myself, personally. I want my students to understand how the natural world works, and instead of talking about how the government leaders are acting, I focus more on the choices students have and how their actions impact the earth and the people living on it. But that's not to say that there aren't classrooms where that is a potential problem where, the alarmism that you're talking about, oh no, what are we going to do, that I'm sure does find its way into some classrooms.
What do you make of how climate change is dealt with by the media today? How accurate do you think their treatment of the hard science that may be or may not be behind some of the warnings are?
Yeah, that is tough because it's hard to separate political agendas from scientific facts and what decisions are the best decisions to bring about the results that you want. And I guess the thing that is undebatable is that carbon dioxide and methane and other greenhouse gases, they do absorb the sun's energy. It's just, and the physics say that that's what happens. And in fact, we should actually be really appreciative that when God created the world, he made sure that these gases existed, because it turns out without them, without these greenhouse gases, the world would actually be too cold for human life. So I think it's wonderful that there are these greenhouse gases. I guess something else that's not debatable in this whole conversation is that since the Industrial Revolution, humans have been releasing carbon dioxide and other greenhouse gases at a much faster rate than what plants are taking it in as far as part of the carbon cycle, because it used to be in an equilibrium. So these are things that we know, but the questions, I think the harder parts are answering the questions of how quickly will there be warming, can it be reversed, what will be the magnitude of the effects, and of course, the thing that people most have a problem with is what approach should be taken to help minimize some of these effects. And so there's lots of unanswered questions, and I personally don't like to get into the politics of it. I guess I know that the greenhouse gases are good when they're in equilibrium, and I know that we as humans are impacting the world around us, but to what degree, I think those are all things that are unknown, and you have to make predictions into the future and do the best that you can with the science that we do have.
As far as you can tell, where do students appear to stand on the more controversial aspects or claims regarding climate change?
Yeah, it seems like in the environmental science courses I've taught here at WLC, there's been a wide range of student stances. And there are some who are very staunch in maybe a political view and just seem to agree with whatever party they're associated with. But I think there are plenty of students who are willing to take the time to look at the science and have a better understanding about what is behind all these different environmental issues, instead of taking a political stance, learn more about the science itself. And so I think no one wants to be associated with either side of the more controversial aspects about climate change. And I guess I always encourage students to think about, learn the biology, learn the chemistry, and think about what choices you can have, what choices you can make in your life to be a better neighbor to other people and to better respect the world that God created.
So let's talk a little bit about human activity and civilization. In the typical mm-hmm. earth and environmental sciences classroom, not yours, but in the typical one that they may encounter at a secular university, how is human activity and civilization usually depicted when it comes to the concerns and the things studied by earth and environmental sciences?
Again, it's hard for me to speak to a typical classroom, as every professor is going to have their own unique approach. But my sense is that many instructors are interested in students learning about how the world works and how students can positively impact the world and the people around them in the future. Thus, the past human civilizations are studied with the intent to better understand the results of previous generations in order to avoid some of the pitfalls of past human activities.
Can a biblical understanding of creation and man's stewardship supplement the study of earth and environmental sciences?
Absolutely. And in fact, this is the lens through which many of the courses here at WLC are taught, and specifically the environmental science courses here. It does not supplement the study of earth and environmental science. It provides the motivation for our actions, I would say. Like, as Christians, our motivation is a gospel motivation. You know, out of love for God and for our neighbor, we want to take care of the world that God created. And actually, a former biology professor here at WLC, Dr. Paul Belke, I want to lead people to read his article called Speaking for the Earth, where he writes about God's love for fallen mankind how that love caused him to send his son to die for us. And our reaction to this salvation by grace is a desire to love and serve him and our fellow man. And so part of that is we can serve and glorify God by treating his creation with respect. And we can also serve our neighbor by preserving and protecting the resources that provide food and fuel and shelter, and not just for this generation, because our neighbor is also for, you know, those generations yet to come. So I guess really a biblical understanding of creation, knowing that God created the world and put man as a steward of that, really gives us a reason for why we might want to protect and preserve the world. And really it's our responsibility to love and care for the earth.
As a professor and a scientist, you have the opportunity to look in detail at the world around us. And as you mentioned, earth and environmental sciences covers a broad and requires a familiarity with a broad number of disciplines in the sciences. And you're teaching students to do the very same thing, to take a careful look at the world around them. The closer you look, the more detailed the picture emerges for you. Does it cause you to marvel all the more at God as creator?
Oh, absolutely. And in fact, you know, the original, like way back when, as people were first studying the world around them, many of them were Christians, and their whole reason for studying the world and studying science was to glorify God. And they were continually amazed by what they found. And I think the same is at least is true for me and is true for other Christians who are scientists. It's an amazing blessing to be on this world and be able to see the wondrous things that God has created, to climb mountains, to look at the beautiful snowfall like we just had last night, and to know that, you know, God is the creator of that. And, you know, it's kind of sad because, you know, perhaps Christians unfairly have been criticized for not caring about the environment. And, you know, there's reasons for that, some valid and some not. But as I talked about, there really are many wonderful, good motivations for Christians to care about the environment. And it's just this wonderful opportunity to show our love for God and our response to the world around us, the people around us.
So what practical advice would you give to a student who is entering the secular university, a science classroom, wanting to become a student of science?
Well, I guess first of all, I would tell them to be excited and just go out there and learn everything they can and don't be afraid of what science has to hold. And I guess I say that because, you know, I'm a scientist and I've been through a lot of that, but it also has to do with knowing that, you know, God created the world and he gave us the world to study, but he also gave us the Bible. And our logic is always going to be subservient to the word of God. And so even if they come across things that either are or just seem to be at odds with our Christian faith, that doesn't mean you shouldn't study it. It means that you should just have humility and know that, you know, there's some things on this side of heaven we may just not understand fully or completely. And, you know, as with Job, where God said, hey, where were you when I created the world? You know, we have to remember to be humble, and there are just some things we're not going to understand. But you still can be excited and have a love of learning about the world around you, and just remember to always keep God's word at the heart and go back to God's word in everything that you're studying.
Dr. Angela Abeling is Associate Professor of Biology at Wisconsin Lutheran College in Milwaukee. She has a PhD in soil science from the University of Wisconsin. Dr. Abeling, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Heather McDonald joins us on the other side of the break. She's authored the new book called The Diversity Delusion. We'll talk about diversity ideology on American university campuses.
The church's music from the 20th century. The 17th century. The 11th century. The 8th century. The 4th century. The best of the church's music from the past 2,000 years, LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Several Issues Etc. regular guests are candidates for leadership positions in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Every LCMS congregation has received nomination forms for the president and vice presidents of the synod. Please encourage your pastor and congregational leaders to fill out and return these nomination forms before February 20th of 2019. Learn more at issuesetc.org/nominations. issuesetc.org/nominations.
What is the state of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod in 2018? Find out in the November issue of the Lutheran Witness. This special edition is filled with information on global mercy work, missions, membership statistics, schools, and more, offering readers a big-picture look at the LCMS around the world. Subscribe today at cph.org/witness. The Lutheran Witness, interpreting the contemporary world from a Lutheran Christian perspective.
Real Reformation Radio. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Are you in the market for a home, car, or student loan? Check out Lutheran Federal Credit Union. During November, when you open a Lutheran FCU loan to meet your financial needs, or when you use your Lutheran FCU credit card for a qualifying amount of purchases, Lutheran FCU will give you cash back and give that same amount of money to their Ministry of the Month, Christian Friends of New Americans. Learn more at LutheranFCU.org. Lutheran FCU, good for you, good for the church. LutheranFCU.org.
At Risen Christ Lutheran Church in Arvada, Colorado, we have simply become captivated by the hilarious notion that God has sent His Son, Jesus Christ, into the world to save the losers of this world, losers just like us. We proclaim the biblical notion that God saves sinners. Embracing the historic liturgy of the church, we confess that we are just that, sinners. Visit us online at risenchristlutheran.org.